Okay, this week's parasha, we come across passing the inyan of Bris Milah. Vayhi baderech bamaloin. They were traveling on derech, and they came to a maloin. Vayifkesheu Hashem vayivakesh hamiso. Vatikach tziporot tzor. Vatichrois es arlas bina. She removed the foreskin of her son. Vatagal liraglov. She threw down the arla in front of his feet. But Moshe's feet, Vatoimer ki chasan damim atoli, you are the chasan damim. You almost caused the death of my child. Vayif bimenu oz omra chasan damim lamulos. I have to look in the Rashi, what exactly this means. It's a long, long elaboration what it means. But basically that Moshe Rabbeinu failed to circumcise Eliezer, his second son. First one was Gershom, right? The first one was Gershom. And Gershom, and this was Eliezer. He did not fail to circumcise, and therefore he was in the matzav of Sakon. The Malach wanted to kill Moshe because he failed to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is Hashem was Kares Yud Gimel Brisais for Bris Milah. And you're coming here to save Klal Yisrael, and when they're going to eat the Korban Pesach, the prerequisite is Bris Milah. So how could it possibly be that when you come to Mitzrayim, you don't deny Mekayim, the mitzvah of Bris Milah is upon the father. Okay, so we mentioned you're passing Bris Milah. I recently came across a little safer, called Seder Yoim Bris Milah. It's written by, no, there's no author, it's written by Avad. Mechon Avnei Shoyhan in Tel Aviv, and it seems from the introduction they have a whole series. I'm now very curious to get them all. A whole series of little books that are on different topics. One, this book, the entire book is devoted to Bris Milah, and it's actually very good, very very good. It's better than some of the big thick books. There's a lot of really nice things. I didn't get a chance to go through the entire thing. I went through some of it. And I just want to share with you things. I'm not going to go through the basics. You all know the basics. Things which are at least new to me. Okay, you probably know this already. So I'll be a chazara. Some things that I've enjoyed, I've taken out of this, relating to Bris Milah. So let's try to go through these things very quickly. Number one, first thing I found very interesting is Shalom, there is no author. I told you, it's Machon. There's no author. It doesn't give you an author. It gives you a Machon Avnei Shoyam Tel Aviv. It's very Haredi. There is still no author, but it has a lot of Zechen Nishmas, who was dedicated for it, but it tells you all the number, where to contact. It seems they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 already, 6 volumes part of this series. Let's go through a couple of interesting things. Shalom Zachar. Okay, it all starts with the Shalom Zachar. Why do we have a Shalom Zachar? So I know you know 10 reasons, but this is at least a new reason to me. Chazal, the Medrash says the reason why the baby is born, has a Bris Milah on day 8, is because Hashem wants to guarantee that the child goes through Shabbos. Shabbos is essential. Shabbos is the meat and potatoes of Yados. Shabbos is everything. So a child, before he has the ability to go into Bris Milah, he must go through the Kiddush of Shabbos. And that's why it's on the 8th day. There's a very big problem with that, because you don't need 8 days in order to guarantee a child goes through Shabbos. You only need 7 days. If a child is born on the last minute of Shabbos, on the very last, so he has Shabbos. He has Shabbos. And when will the Bris Milah be? The Bris Milah will be on Friday. You said, if Bris Milah would have been 7 days, you would always have a child entering into Shabbos. So the answer is, that's right. But there's no guarantee a child would experience Lel Shabbos. In order for a child to experience Lel Shabbos, the Friday night, Milah must be on the 8th day. Because even if the child, the child was born on, Milah was on the 7th day, so let's say the child was born on Friday, the very last minute of Friday. If a child was born
on the last minute of Shabbos,
this would be Friday. The child would never have experienced a Friday night. So the reason why we make a...
So
Friday night you have to read the Askinu Sudasa. The Askinu Sudasa, there's a difference between Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shabbos, and Shabbos Shalosh Sudas. Each one in these Kabbalistic terms, I don't know, these apples, and the sacred apples, and the orchard, Chapal, Tabuch Hadishin, there are obviously very holy spiritual things. We know that Friday night there's this child of this Kovet Shabbos and this Oinik Shabbos. And is which one is Kovet Shabbos, Oinik Shabbos, and this Kedusha Shabbos? Kovet Shabbos goes to the day. Friday night is this more of an inyan of the Kedusha of Shabbos. I don't remember all the details, but the point is, the reason why we make a Shalom Zachar, again, this is just one of many reasons, is because Friday night is what we've gained with the requirement that Bris Milah take place on the eighth day. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu demands that Bris Milah be on Yom Shemini, on the eighth day, what has that accomplished for us? What practical benefit is there for Klal Yisrael that Bris Milah takes place on the eighth day? Shabbos. Luchayr Shabbos, right? Isn't that what it says in the Medrash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that before the child has a Bris Milah, the child should experience Shabbos. By the Goyim, when they do Bris Milah, they don't wait for the eighth day. They do Bris Milah already on day two, day three. Mm-hmm. They don't wait that long. They do it right away. There's no medical reason. There's no medical reason why Bris Milah has to wait until the eighth day. Bris Milah can be done immediately. Sometimes, obviously, it would even save complications. And the Bris Milah would have been done earlier. You
child, I told him, what is his status? What is the child's status? Is
he a
guy?
What is
he? No, he's a Jew, but he's an Orel. He's a Jew, but he's an uncircumcised Jew.
He wanted to experience a Shabbos as a
Yishkenu Arelim. Okay, we'll come to that in a moment. But it doesn't matter. He's still a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. He has a Jewish mother, and the child is Jewish. The Medrash says, real technically, there's no medical reason why we can't do a Bris Milah immediately, on day two, day three, even immediately. Why are we waiting until a number of days? So the Medrash says, Hashem wants that the Jewish child should experience the Kiddush of Shabbos. We may not appreciate that there's a degree of spirituality that comes to the world. A child has to have that experience. But that would have been sufficient to have Milah on Yom HaShavi. There's no need to experience Shabbos to have Yom HaShmini. What are we gaining by having the Bris Milah B'davka on Yom Shmini? You guarantee that the child experiences Lel Shabbos. Oh, Lel Shabbos, that's what we're guaranteeing. It's kedai to celebrate the moment. And how do you celebrate the moment? A Shalom Zachar. A Shalom, what?
With Arbis.
A Shalom Zachar. You come together, family, friends, you celebrate, you eat, Zemirois, whatever. It's a beautiful reason. It's a beautiful reason. You don't have a Shalom Zachar Shabbos. Let's say you blow it. Let's say, think about it. What a lot of the reasons of having a Shalom Zachar are not specific to Friday night. What would happen if it's, you know, there's a snowstorm and no one's able to make it over to your house Friday night? There's a curfew. Government says there's someone on the loose. There's a terrorist on the loose, Chas v'Shalom. Okay? Don't go out into the street. So no Shalom Zachar. So can we have a Shabbos day? Why not? Right? Many of the reasons, the common reasons, so have a Shabbos day. No. Shalom Zachar is miyuchad for Friday night because this is what we gain with the instruction, the mitzvah, that Bris Milah be performed b'davka b'yom ha'ashmini. We're guaranteed we're going to have the Kedusha of Lel Shabbos. Okay, now you've mentioned...
Versus delay.
Yes.
Beyond the week. Can you have a second Shalom Zachar?
No. The Shalom Zachar seemingly is only the first Friday night. Pashtus is the first Friday night. You can do whatever you want. You can have a make-believe Shalom Zachar, yeah?
I read a halacha sefer yesterday on Bris Milah, and one of the things it said, why you have a Shalom Zachar on Friday night, is because that's when people are around.
It's easy, convenient. Yeah, it's convenient. But then that would apply if you miss it Friday night, so have it Shabbos day.
You choose Friday night.
It's a beautiful idea. It adds a lot of flavor to why Friday night, this is what we've gained with Yom Shmini over Yom Shavi'i. Because the only reason we're waiting is for Shabbos. If you don't want to wait, do it 2 days, 3 days. There's no medical reason to delay the Bris Milah. Shabbos. So do it Yom Shavi'i. You'll also have a Shabbos. you're not going to have Friday night. Friday night, there's something about the Kiddush of Lil Shabbos that is unique, and therefore that Torah wanted that child to experience that in its whatever way it experiences, which is beyond us, and therefore we come together to celebrate that moment. Okay, then you've touched upon the idea that Rav Shlomo...
So the only time you might possibly skip it is Erev Yom Kippur, right? Friday night, you wouldn't have a Shom Zachar with Yom Kippur.
Oh, you're asking a good question. So what do you do when Yom Kippur... So it's brought down. What do you do? It's brought down. This halacha from talk about it. They talk about Seder. What happens if you have a Shom Zachar the night of the Seder? So people... You invite people to come over during Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Halacha Svarim. That you tell some of your close friends and family that in the middle of your Shulchan Aruch, sneak out and come over to Fabreng. The Fabreng will come together during... So what do you do?
Without beer?
What?
Without beer?
Without both. Arbis is kinios.
Yeah,
so no kinios? I guess so. So what do you do? What do you do the night of Yom Kippur? I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't know. What? Okay, now you've touched upon another time. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, okay, it's not unique to Friday night, but what's the time Shom Zach? Because it says in Nusach HaTfilah, in the Menucha of Shabbos, lo yishkenu arelim. So when Shabbos begins, the child is agitated. What's going on here? I'm Jewish, and I am an Orel. I don't have a bris milah. I'm an Orel. And simply that the first 8 days, I'm an Orel. So what we're doing is, calm down. Don't get agitated. We're telling the child, we're telling ourselves. We have in front of us an Orel, and it says, V'menucha solo yishkenu arelim, which would seem that this child is not part of the Shabbos, chas v'shalom. You don't want to get off to a bad start. Simoni milsa. You don't want to start off the child, a bad start. You are together. It's just, you're in it's in motion. The plans are in motion that you will have a bris milah on day 8. In the meantime, don't consider this to be... Don't consider this, we just want to, make that focus, give that emphasis that it's not that would that it's
all
not
lost.
Right, all is not lost, we're still there on the way.
Does
the child have to be? That's a very good question. See, a lot of you have to look at the reasons. There are so many different reasons. Let's look at the two reasons that we've given. With a menucha solo yishkin arelim, you would say yes. The child does have to be at the bris. Isn't it? The focus is this child. According to most reasons, it would appear the child should be there. It should at least be in that location. Today it's very common with grandparents. The grandparents live in Flatbush, and the mother and the child are in Lakewood, and the other set of grandparents are in Queens. So there are 3 Shalom Zachars. It's not so uncommon.
We had it in Florida.
In Florida, right? The grandparents, the great grandparents. Okay, so no one's they're not doing anything wrong. Adrad, but the real Shalom Zachar is where the child is. Many times the child is in the hospital. Still, right? The child is born Erev Shabbos. It's not Shaykh. So the child's in the hospital. So the Shalom Zachar is at home. Whatever, right? Whatever. So okay, you do what you can do. But I'll just tell you here because it's a very funny story. This I remember the story, but it's a cute little story from the Koychov Miyakov. I don't know who this person is. One of the big Gedolei Yisrael. He brings down Shabina's father. So he brings down that when he took over as Rav from his father, well, the one before his predecessor, the minhag was that in the community, the Rav went to every Shalom Zachar in the community. You know, in Lakewood, there are a lot of new developments. They're popping up a lot. The typical development in Lakewood has about 100 units. Sometimes 80, and each unit has a basement. They have basements, so you can have almost double. You can have 100. You can have like 150 families living in a development. And these young developments, I know where my brother lives, cannot every Friday night there is at least one, and sometimes even 3 Shalom Zachars. Every. So, and that's in one development. So you can imagine, you go all over the place, so, and you can imagine by the Hasidim what's going on. So the minhag was, in a community, the Rav went to every Shalom Zachar. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of time, precious time to go, a lot of precious time to the Rav to go, prepare Friday night to go to run around. So that was it. When the new Rav took over, he didn't go. So he said, my high, you don't go to the Shalom Zachar, but your predecessor went to every Shalom Zachar. So he said, derech tzchoik. Okay, he said he didn't want to go, obviously, because he didn't have time to go. But he said, "I'll tell you why you don't go. Why do you go to Shalom Zachar?" So one of the reasons he wanted the menachem. It's nichum aveilim. The child, when he was in his mother's womb, he was taught kol ha-Torah kula. When the child left the womb, the malach put his finger on below the nose. He forgot all the learning. The child that is in the state of avelus for the Torah that has been lost. So who goes to visit the child? The Rav, the Gadol Hadar. How is the Rav coming to the child? How is that nicham aveilim? The Rav says, "Listen, when you're in your mother's womb, you knew kol ha-Torah kula. But look at me. I also know kol ha-Torah kula. It's not so bad." So you see that even though it's forgotten, not all is lost. You'll come to it. You'll be no worse than me. I'm a living example that just because the Malach took away all the Torah from you, you can still gain back. So the new Rav said, "Well, my predecessor, my father, when he went to a Shalom Zachar, it was Taka on the Chama, because he knew kol ha-Torah kula. But me, what do I know? A few daf, art school, Gemara. I know. What do I know already over here?" So it's no nechama for the child to see me. The child sees me, he has no nechama, so therefore, why bother? I'm not going to come. This is a joke, but there's some truth to it as well. Okay, let's now go to Vachnacht. Okay, I never heard of Vachnacht until I got a lot older. What's Vachnacht? The night before the Bris Milah. Today we live in the global village. All the Litvaks are doing upsharins, they're all doing Vachnacht, and all the Chassidim are all sitting and learning. Today we live, everyone has taken from everyone. But what is Vachnacht? So everyone comes to, there are two parts to Vachnacht. Vachnacht really means to guard, Vachnacht means to watch. Now there are really two parts. There's the part where all the children come together, and today became a big thing. You buy pekelach, and you invite all the children, the local children, they say Shema with the baby, and you give them all a little treat, and they go on their merry way. But that's not the real Vachnacht. The real Vachnacht is for the father to stay up the entire night at the side of the baby and to learn Torah. So both of these things are really the same. So reciting Kriya Shema is the greatest form of Shmira. When you become Lo Malchus Shemayim, when we go to at night, Kriya Shema Al Hamita. The purpose of saying Kriya Shema Al Hamita is Shmira. When one goes to sleep, he's vulnerable. He's vulnerable to the mazikim, to physical mazikim and spiritual mazikim. So you say Kriya Shema. But the ultimate Shemira is Torah. Torah is Megan. The Chazal say Torah is the ultimate form of Shemira. So therefore, the real type of Vachnacht, the real Vachnacht is the night when the father or is where someone can sit and learn the entire night at the side of the baby. Now let's go to Kriya Shema. What is the meaning of saying Kriya Shema? So it's a very beautiful verse. I think a few people say this idea is because the following morning, the baby will enter into the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah, Chazal tell us, is Shakol Keneged, all the mitzvahs. Bris Milah, I don't have all the Ramazim, but Bris Milah, the Yud Gimel, Brisois, Hashem put a lot of effort into the mitzvah of Bris Milah, it's Shakol Keneged, all the mitzvahs. But there are two parashas of Kriya Shema. First is the parasha of Ve'ohavta, and the second parish is V'choyo Im Shamaya. Chazal asked the question, why do we recite
612?
And then with Makoyel, the Bris is 613. So it's Bris is 613, basically 613. Question is, why we have two parishes of Kriya Shema, Shema and V'choyo Im Shamaya? Why there are two? So the answer is, why do we say V'ohavta before we recite V'choyo Im Shamaya? So the Chazal answer, first you have to mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, and then you mekabel Ol HaMitzvahs. The second parasha, V'choyo Im Shamaya Tishmu Ol Mitzvahs, Shanochi Mitzvah Eschem, that refers to, with Chazal's term, the Ol of the Mitzvahs. The first parasha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lokin Hashem Echad, is the Ol Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and then you go into Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. There's a Seder HaDvarim. To go into Bris Milah immediately is wrong, because you're going into the Kabbalah of the mitzvahs before you will mekabel the Ol Malchus Shamayim. So Vachnacht is basically a zman where you come together to recite Berabim Kriya Shema in the presence of the baby, as if to say the Seder HaDvarim is first Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and tomorrow will be Kabbalas HaMitzvos. In Yados, Seder is critical. The night of Pesach, the Seder, you don't skip steps. When you skip steps, you're looking for trouble. The Tefillah Shel Yad is before the Tefillah Shel Rosh. The Tefillah Shel Yad, it's one box, Achdus. Tefillah Shel Rosh, then you can diversify. Once you're anchored in one location, then you can go off into the various reasons. So too, there has to be Seder. You have to come together, Berabim, and tell the child, or at least whatever, the child doesn't know what's going on anyway, but at least to say to him, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim precedes Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. That became a fun thing because the parents are usually, the real answer is because the parents are not home. The parents don't want to, they're too busy, they're running around. They're at work, they're doing homework, they're sleeping. The children, they do whatever, everything became a spiel today. Okay, let's go to another quick idea, another short idea. Okay, there's another time, another reason why the Vachnacht. Vachnacht basically is to protect the child from the mazikim, whatever this means. The question, why is there only a Vachnacht the night before the Mila? Why don't we, if the child is vulnerable, he's in danger because he has not yet had a bris Mila, there should be a Vachnacht every night, all 8 days. So you'll say it's too difficult, but there's a Lomdashatam. So Lomdashatam is the baby. Someone asked this question before. What's halachic status does a child have until the moment of bris mila? Is he called an orel? Right? We have this very negative term throughout the Torah, an orel. A goy is called an orel. He still has upon him the foreskin. Only Jews don't have bris mila. If the child still has the foreskin, he's an orel. That means he's the source of tumah. Orel is not a good thing. So the poskim say you only can be called an orel if you are a bar chiyuva, if you're a Jew and you are in the zman when you need to remove the foreskin. A child is not mechuyev in bris mila until the 8th day. So you can't even call the child an orel for the first 8 days, 7 days, because he's not a shayich in the mitzvah. He's not even in the category of being a person that has a bris mila. Nafkamina is the night of the 8th. Because the night of the 8th, the night before the bris mila, the zman has already arrived. It's now the yom hashmini. It's now the 8th day. On the yom hashmini, you are mechuyev in the mitzvah of bris mila. The father is mechuyev to perform a bris mila for his child. Problem though is, it's a technical problem that it's night, and the Torah says that bris mila must be done by daylight. So it's just, I'm on the calendar day, it's Yom Shmini. There's a technicality of Laila, and Chazal say Laila Zlav Mechusar Zman. We don't say that night is considered is a lack of Zman as far as your obligation. So it puts a parent, a father, in a very bizarre, very difficult situation. He has the obligation, but he can't fulfill the obligation because of a technicality. That in halacha would give the child the status of an orel. So for the first 7 days, the child is not an orel. Because the child is not in the category, is not a bar chiyuva. The father is not a bar chiyuva to perform the bris mila. Once the 8th calendar day has arrived, he's a bar chiyuva. There's a technicality why you can't do the bris mila. The bris mila will only be done by morning. But it's only a technicality. But you're already a bar chiyuva. If you're bar chiyuva, you have not yet removed the foreskin, you are called an orel.
So if you have a child who's going to be delayed for the bris, right? 8th day comes, he's still yellow.
Yes, so he's called an oral. No, Vachnach is not a serious thing. A Vachnach, we don't take it seriously. It's no halacha. These are minhagim. These are minhagim. It's a recognition.
That's why they learn all night. It makes sense.
Right, exactly. Because since now he's an oral, he's now there's a kitroig. Whatever, there's a kitroig. There's no. It means now it's a recognition. It's just a technique. Now the 8th day has arrived. The 8th day have arrived, you're bar chiyuva. And I can't do it until the morning. You're an orel. an Orel, so new, let's get the show moving. Can't, it's night. But you're an Orel because the day is here. Therefore, as a recognition that it's an Orel, and we have to protect the child through the Milo, through Torah, so we learn, so we acknowledge this by learning Torah.
If you do a bris at night,
yeah. Yes, you do. Yes, yes.
Even if it's on the 8th.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, you ruin it. If you do it at night, it's a big problem. Yes. Okay. Let's go to another short idea. Baruch Haba. Skimming. I'm just telling you, a lot of things are, you know, it's just things a little new to me. But why do we begin with Baruch Haba? Because the word Haba is Bigmatria 8. Right, very simple. Baruch Haba. Why Haba? Who do you say? Welcome the one who comes. Who's coming? Eliyahu Hanavi. You don't have another way to greet Eliyahu Hanavi? You can probably come with 50 different ways to greet. Shalom Aleichem. Why do you have to greet Eliyahu Hanavi with the word Haba? It was done by design because the word Haba, you can say this 100 times and never know this. Haba is Bigmatria 8. Right? 5 plus 2 plus 1. The last I checked was 8. So therefore, it's bris milizva. Now another time given by the poiskim called the Zecher David, Haba is Rashi Tevos, not in order. Hine Eliyahu Ba. Okay, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Malachi. Umalach habris asher atem chafetzim bo hine ba. Behold, he is here. Malach habris. So Malachi. So since we have a pasuk that says hine ba, it's a cute little reference. Baruch haba. Haba is hine. It's really short for hine Eliyahu ba.
Baruch is also
hine ba Eliyahu.
Okay, either or.
Gematria 229. 200.
Okay. Let's it's already 12 o'clock. All right, time is up. So we'll continue this tomorrow.